80 Years Young, featuring dancers, singers, and holiday music on Saturday, December 14th, 3 o'clock at Ruther's Houghton Performance Center. Tickets at KenoshaSymphony.org, on Facebook, or at the door. Students 18 and under are free with an adult.
Welcome to Generation Now, a show by and for millennials and Gen Z. I'm your host, Troy McDonald. Today, I am so honored to welcome a true trailblazer in his field. He is an award-winning broadcaster and the lead sports play-by-play announcer at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater on their live TV network, UWW-TV. The passion, the fortitude, and the conviction of his calls is something truly to behold. I'm honored to have him today on the program, and even more honored to call him a friend. Please welcome the incomparable Tyler Schuerman to the program today, to Generation Now Today. Tyler, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Troy. It's an honor to be on the show. I'm excited.
So how did you first discover your love for broadcasting?
That's a good question. I think when I was in seventh grade, that's what I kind of wanted to do because both my grandma and my best friend's dad, they were just so amazed of how much I knew about the sport of baseball because I went through a baseball phase around that time. And just all the statistics I knew, they were just wowed by that. And I pretty much all my life since I grew up, since I was around, 4 or 5 years old, grew up a huge professional wrestling fan and NASCAR fan. I listened to those announcers, and those announcers always had, they always left the presence on me. I like listening to them because they excited the game. So I think, around the seventh grade, that's when I knew that I wanted to go into this field.
Right. And we both love professional wrestling, as my audience knows. Mm-hmm. But there's a sense of urgency and energy that those commentators bring to what they do that is so critical. And that's interesting that you picked up on it in the seventh grade. That's quite young.
Some of my first heroes were Alan Bestwick from NASCAR. He always told a great story and always had a connection that felt like a fan. Like you could relate to him as a fan. And then Joey Styles in professional wrestling. I liked watching old ECW tapes. I had like ECW videos when I was young, believe it or not, for how extreme was. But Joey Styles, like, he was one of the reasons I really liked watching him because he just brought an intensity and a connection to the audience. Like when he did, oh my God, that was just great. It was huge on me because like that's how I feel watching that, and it just really amplified the story that was on screen in the ring.
Right. And for those of you who are like, what's ECW? It was a promotion in the mid-90s, Extreme Championship Wrestling. They were known for the use of barbed wire, bats, steel chairs, thumbtacks, staple guns as weapons against their opponent. It was freaking awesome. It really was. But what made you think that you could do it? So you're combining all of these influences from NASCAR, from wrestling, from traditional sports. What made you think, well, actually, I can do what they're doing?
The fan in me. I think the fan in me because, I never grew up playing sports, but I was always a fan of them. When I was 5 years old, I wanted to try to become a NASCAR racer, but that obviously wasn't going to happen because, number one, I didn't grow up in the family. We didn't have the funds, so we didn't know, how to do that. And number two, I didn't grow up in the area, so it was kind of like Mission Impossible right there. So instead of trying to chase after in athletics and try to be an athlete, I just went back to the fan of me. So I grew up watching sports, loving them, it's entertainment to me. I still love them, to this day and the excitement that they bring. So it was pretty much the fan in me that really just kind of just really pushed that.
And that's interesting that you say that you admire the athlete, right, pretty much. That's the gist that I'm getting. And I think that's so important because I think some commentators, and I'm not going to put anyone on blast here, but they don't admire the athletes. They take them for granted. And when you, when I listen to you, you admire and you're astonished by the mere athleticism that you're seeing in front of you, and that makes me care as a viewer at home.
Mm-hmm. I think that's big because as broadcasters, we're kind of – I mean, we're the stars of the show in some way, but not exactly. I mean, the people are coming in to watch these athletes, but, you know, as you have said, as Jim Ross has said, you know, it's all about putting the lyrics to the music and bringing that to life. So you're there to – bring the game to a whole new level and to try to get these athletes over. So I, you know, when I look at those athletes, like I admire them, you know, because like I look at them, I mean, say I can't do what they're doing and I could never, but it just amazes me. And I just appreciate what they do because it just, it gives a lot of people joy. Sports connects us as a community in many ways.
That is so true. Very true. Let's take a step back. You're from Kenosha.
Mm-hmm.
Indian Trail alum. How did that experience prepare you? Going to Indian Trail, which has a really great communications program. Mm-hmm. We've partnered with them for what we do at WGTD Sports. So talk about kind of your background at Indian Trail and in Kenosha.
Yeah, Kenosha. I was born in Kenosha. I've lived in Kenosha my whole life, so I really don't know any other city. But when I came to Indian Trail, My mom helped me out to try to go to that school. She found online on their website that they have the Communications Academy program, which does offer journalism classes, PR classes, and the beloved and the award-winning video announcements program that they have there. And the video announcements program really sold me on that program. I did have to wait until I was a junior to get involved with that, but it was really worth the wait, you know, because it was a choice. It's a choice school too, so I lost a lot of my friends from middle school, and I kind of had a. It was tough for me the first 2 years to kind of find my crowd, but once I got in and started doing the video announcement stuff, then I just kind of just drawn myself and all the fun and the people that were involved with it that shared the same interests and. That's when it kind of kicked off. And just the program itself there for video announcements, it got me ready so much. It didn't get me, you know, to where I'm at right now, like per se, but it was a really great start into really figuring out and really helping me round myself with what goes on in news fields and news production, you know, with basic tools on a smaller scale, obviously. So like editing, voiceovers, you know, of telling the story, being in front of the camera, reading off a teleprompter, all that stuff, all that production stuff combined really rounded me and kind of taught me what kind of goes on in fields like this, that everything's equally important. And I think just all that experience really gave me an open mind going into college. And that really helped me just get right onto the sports announcing team that we have here on campus my freshman year. And I kind of pretty much, that's how I got my start.
Wow, that's absolutely, absolutely incredible. I had a great time at Indian Trail too. But I want to touch on something for people who might not understand. Video announcements, this is very different from just the PA guy coming through the speakers in your classroom. At Indian Trail, mm-hmm. they have a video news program, I don't know how long it was. When I was there, it was like 5 minutes, 8 minutes with the national, with the Pledge of Allegiance. And it was just like a newscast that would come on. Every classroom had a television in it that would showcase this program every single morning. And so getting to be a part of that was a big deal and is still a big deal. And you were one of the stars there.
Yeah, it was really cool just to be part of it. It was definitely the highlight of my high school tenure. Those 4 years, although I got to do it for 2 years. I mean, it was just so fun. That's why I came there, and it was just worth the wait to start just having fun and prepping for my future, really, because it really taught me a lot.
So let's talk about your journey to Whitewater. There are many schools with, you know, great communications programs and media programs. Why did you choose Whitewater?
Whitewater, multiple reasons. The first reason being the television station that we have here. You know, this was the first school I actually just that I toured. You know, I came on I think it was like Warhawk Day for people who are just interested that were juniors or going into their senior year for high school, that they could come to this school to have a tour for the day, do some group activities and stuff. And I'll never forget, I had to wait all day long. I think we got here at like 8, and then we finally toured the television station at 1. So it was already a long day. I was getting tired, but it was one of the best waits, worth it, because right when we got to the tour, my current director, Jim Mead, he gave us, our group the tour, and it was like an hour tour. He was in just kept talking about the television station in a really good way, because he was passionate about it. And I wanted to, one of the reasons I wanted to join this was because you could get hands-on experience right away, and also a passionate environment, led by Jim. So that was my reason of coming here. And second of all, was just the campus overall. They have such a great campus here that's very accepting. There's always anyone could find their place here. There's so many clubs, so many groups, so many different academic areas that you could go in, and you could find your people right away. There's a place for everyone, and they have a really good rate of retaining freshmen too by having you guys in a group for the first semester, and then you start with those people as friends, and you could grow from there, which is really great. And I was a part of the learning community that starts the Tomorrow Learning Community, which specializes in journalism, media, or television. And Jim Mead, he was the leader, the instructor of that group too. So that was another foot in the door for me.
Really, really great. Let's kind of talk about this year. As the lead play-by-play guy, this has been your junior year has been just a standout year. I mean, you've just eclipsed, a lot of people. Talk about that journey, figuring out that, yeah, you were the best at what you do.
It's crazy, because I when I came in for my freshman year, it was just it was weird, because it took a little bit to find my place and to find my focus. And gotten some dr to some drama my freshman year. So I just there was a time where I was like at rock bottom, close to the end of that first semester of freshman year, and I was like, I had really no really true friends to really go to as a rock. So then I pretty much had an epiphany, the help of my family and the support, just like, yeah, this is why you're here. You're not here for anything really high schoolish and all that drama. You're here to because you want to be a part of the television station. So yeah, just that was the epiphany for me. And right away, I took the learning community to the I went from the learning community to television practicum, which is also run by Jim Mead, and pretty much learned the ins and outs of television production behind the scenes. And then I got offered a job at the television station that fall 2018, and then I got my first big break with getting selected to be a part of the pregame football show. And my freshman year, I called games here and there, especially a lot in the second semester, where I kind of got up and got after my life and everything. And it just led, one thing led to another. The big break with the football pregame show, it really broke me out and took me to another level. I broke out. I was with my two best friends, Amory and Kim, so that really helped me be comfortable in that role, and that really helped. And then I started calling more games, and just increased professional levels professionally and personally for me within announcing. Kept announcing games. And then, the second semester this past spring for me, my sophomore year, when I was a sophomore, I got the call, WEAC championship games and NCAA regional games for softball. It was awesome.
You know what's so interesting about, I'm going a little bit off the beaten path here, but I'm sure you can sense this at home too, the joy in your voice. How genuinely you love what you do. And you told me, which I don't get. I mean, I just come on here and I say whatever the hell I want to say. And if they want to kick me off, kick me off. But
Right.
you love calling all sports. You, like you just listed there, you've done softball, you've done football, you've done basketball, right? Talk about, I guess, I don't know if there is, maybe there isn't, but is there a common theme between each of those different types of sports that still allows you to love it? Because I don't like softball. I mean, it's not fun. I like to see people get, crunched up in the pads on in football,
Right.
right? So how do you find a common theme that you can connect to and still deliver the calls that you're famous for?
The unpredictability of each sport. You don't know what's going to happen. Anything can happen in any sport, and it's entertaining. That's how I view it, as anything can happen in sports. It's unpredictable. I just love it. I love telling a good story. And I think that also the storytelling aspect of it really pushes me and keeps my love going, because I love it. I love how things come together, and I love hearing about people's journeys.
You are listening to Generation Now. This is WGTD FM 91.1 in Kenosha. I'm here with Tyler Schuerman on Generation Now. We're talking about his meteoric rise to just absolute success as the lead play-by-play commentator at the UW University of Wisconsin Whitewater on UWW-TV. Do you find it difficult to be a member of Generation Z, which is 1998 and to present, right? Still going. Do you find it difficult being a member of that generation and calling a game? Is there a way that you do it that's different than someone who might be a millennial or someone who might be a Gen X or baby boomers if they're still commentating?
Oh, sure. I think there is a lot of ways that's there. There's many differences. I don't find it tough. I find it, as a member of Generation Z, I think it's exciting to have, other people from that generation call games. I think it's a lot different because they bring a different type of excitement to each broadcast than maybe the other, maybe a baby boomer who's been doing this for decades upon decades and just doesn't have the tone or the excitement in his voice, the love for it. And yeah, I was listening to, I was watching the Whitewater football game that they did. They played against Mary Hardin Baylor. They won that one on Saturday, and they had just the Mary Hardin Baylor ESPN radio guys, and they weren't exciting. They didn't have substance to them. It was just very boring and generic. It was like they were doing a job. It didn't sound genuine. So just that stuff. I think just our generation, my generation, they bring a different excitement, and it's more about being yourself on air than it was, say, 40 years ago, of like Walter Cronkite, who doing the news, where he had to be professional with with his even his. His mannerisms and mechanics.
You're so right about that. And I think that, first of all, I think that makes for a better production, not Walter Cronkite. I mean, being yourself on air and letting just, what's the saying, your freak flag fly, I guess, right? I mean, and just being yourself, warts and all, I think that's 100% the better way to go and is way more entertaining and engaging. You're right. I hate people who just do that and it's like a job and they feel like, well, I'm getting a check and what have you, and I'm just going to treat this like any other day. No, like if something exciting happens, and that's what I love about your broadcasts, because I've had the pleasure of watching a lot of your broadcasts this year, is that you make me care at home. Because if you don't give a damn, why should I give a damn at home? If the players don't matter to you, why should they matter to me at home? Right? And I don't care if I was a Whitewater fan or a Stout fan or what have you, your job is to make everyone seem important and the game itself seem important. And you do that expertly. And apparently, the people who did the game last Saturday didn't get the job done there.
Yeah, I really appreciate the compliments, Troy. It means a lot that you watch my games. I really appreciate it. And I mean, just as I said previously, just if for the generation today, my generation, with just announcing and everything, just being yourself, being genuine, like you're having a conversation with this person, because that's the best way to connect. I think I feel, in my heart, that just be yourself. Don't just have to pretend like you're talking to your buddy, but do it in a professional way, I guess, a little bit, but and be genuine and passionate about it. And yeah, you mentioned passion there, Troy. We both love Jim Ross. He's one of our biggest heroes, and just every ounce of just in his voice was just with passion. He spoke of passion, got guys over, and every call meant, or everything that happened, like every little move that happened in a wrestling ring that he was calling mattered.
Yeah, and that's so true. Jim Ross is widely regarded as the best play-by-play guy in professional wrestling history. I don't think that's even a debate.
No,
In my, yeah,
it's not.
it's not. I agree, and you're right, because he added an element of excitement, and he also loved to do it the way that you do it, the unpredictability. Wrestling is predetermined, and he would not want to know what was going on because he wanted to react like a fan would react. And that makes for a much better broadcast. And so, Jim, I mean, any guy, especially you, because you actually are really talented, but who says Jim Ross is inspires them to be who they are and to do the work that they do, gets points in my book. But it also is double the points, triple the points, because you're excellent and the best at what you do. I want to move to this, though. You're coming into an era, even when I was your age, not that long ago, 6 years ago, not that long ago, but when I was your age, you were just seeing the development of the digital players, right? YouTube was coming on strong, Facebook was getting into video, but it was still, people weren't sure how it was going to play out. Now it's basically the consensus that everything, the linear TV package that people subscribe to, is going to die. It's going to die a slow and painful death as millennials, Gen Z, we're cutting the cord. We're not watching traditional outlets. So you have ESPN Plus, you have DAZN, you have Fight TV. So I'm curious what your mentors and what your teachers and professors are saying about how you're going to enter the workforce, where there's so many different streaming options and platforms available for you to practice your craft.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of my professors haven't really touched upon that, which is kind of disappointing, but I know you have touched on that, Troy, many times within the conversations that we've had over the past year, that it is moving into a digital world. I mean, television and cable television, news, TV, I mean, it's really not going to be there on TV anymore, just because now you have streaming apps and whatever you call it, that have TV now, like YouTube TV. My parents just recently are doing a trial to see how that goes. YouTube TV, you got Hulu, you got Netflix, you have Fox Sports Go, ESPN Plus, the Disney, the whole Disney fiasco that went on with their apps. So everything is moving in a digital world. And yeah, I won't forget what you said to me, I believe back in July when we went out to lunch. It's like, yeah, I mean, the biggest thing for you to do as a journalist, especially if you want to be in sports, is to develop a personality, kind of like a Stephen A. Smith or anyone out there, maybe like a Chris Collins, where somebody that has a following, kind of who is sort of a celebrity, but they have a following and people want to watch you. So I think that is the biggest development that anyone who's aspiring to be a broadcaster have, because I mean, either do that or confine and conform to the digital aspects of all these new apps.
You're so right. And the reason that I said that about Stephen A. Smith, who I think is, I don't think this is even without a doubt, he's probably the most famous analyst in the country right now,
Yes.
by far. And so the reason I said that is because it doesn't matter if ESPN closes tomorrow or FS1 closes tomorrow, people are going to follow Stephen A. Smith wherever he goes next, right?
He
Because
could pretty much just start up his own podcast or show or online streaming show. An audience would be there, tens of thousands of people, maybe hundreds of thousands, in the millions. And you see all his videos that he does. He does like videos that are just hot takes, and there's millions of shares on social media of them.
Right. Absolutely. And he's able to do that because he found a way to connect to his audience and craft a niche for himself. And so that's my recommendation, or not my recommendation, but, you know, just kind of what I think is what's going to happen, right, is that you're going to have to develop that. Otherwise, like you said, you're going to have to conform wherever you go and hope that you get airtime and hope that you break through in a competitive landscape. And then I think another thing that people aren't talking about, too, is that the idea of breaking through is going to be different in each culture. Breaking through in the gaming community is going to mean different than breaking through in the sports community, or breaking through even in the wrestling community, which is a subset of that, right? Every community has their own big stars that people follow, and not everyone is paying attention to all the different silos that are going on, right? If you like hip-hop music, there's a very good chance you don't know what the number one country song in the country is, country music song, right? Because you're in that hip-hop culture and that community. And so I think breaking through, whatever that means, is also morphing, right? And so it's just being the best within that community. And, you know, Stephen A. Smith, I think breaking through nationally is going to get even harder as you have all these different platforms competing for your time. So
you really do. And I think the best thing to do is just try to be original, do what you want to do. There's no rules to really anything in, you know, in the in professional fields or music, you name it. There's no rules to anything. Do it how you want to do it. And then I think you can stand out, but you got to work hard. And especially in today's age, anyone can become a broadcast journalist. You see YouTube, a lot of people have the talk shows that they do, or the news shows, just like specific sports they cover or talk about. So I think just trying to get yourself out there in the social media world and digitally through YouTube and everything. Just trying to create an image for yourself, create videos, do stuff by yourself, and just keep getting your name out there and try to get a following. I think that is going to be the key to future successes for broadcasters.
100%. Speaking of success for broadcasters, you are an award-winning broadcaster. Talk about that process and what it was like when you won.
Yeah, it was really cool. I think I did win that award. It was 2 second place awards, one in the WBAs and one at the WCEMs, the Wisconsin community I forget, something like that. It's a Midwest regional awards show. So I won that on last year's Warhawk Sports Saturday, which is the pregame show for football. Won it with Amory LaVerada and Kim Reinders, which is really cool. My two best friends. And just, we pretty much picked the best thing that we had, which I think it was the last regular season game that we did. And I think everyone was gelling. You know, I was gelling. And we picked that one to submit both into WBA and WCM. And then we just, we got notified for WCM that we did win second place, which is cool. WBAs, we found out when we went to there because that's when they revealed the awards. And just that whole process was really cool. And it just made me want to do more. It just was the first taste of success. And I just, you know, to keep doing what I'm doing, to get better and to hopefully maybe get a first place award this year.
Right. And I think that that's going to happen. I mean, nothing is certain, right? Mm-hmm. Especially in this business, but that's going to be hard. So we're coming to the close here of the show. And I wanted to ask you this question. If you could go back and tell the young Tyler who was just getting started, you know, broadcasting, if you could go back and tell him anything, what would you say?
It all ends well. I'd say it all ends well. You know, don't be scared, because it doesn't, you shouldn't be scared what you say. Say what you want to say on air, and don't feel like there's pressure from anyone, because you're the only one in that booth with your partner. And be original. Do what you want. Don't be afraid of what you're going to say, because that is what's going to separate you from the rest of the bunch, really, is by just being you. And so, I would say just don't be scared about just getting into to doing stuff, keep pushing, put yourself out there, and it's all going to end well.
Tyler, I think you are one of the best of this generation to do what you do, and I'm honored that you took, a few minutes out of your busy schedule to sit down with me. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure, Troy. Thanks for having me.
And how can people get in touch? When's the next game? What's coming up?
I'm pretty much done for the rest of the year here in 2019. You got